All right. Hello, this is Steven for memeandmeaning.com. And it is 5:18 a.m. And we're going to talk about self-honesty. And I'm sure there's just so much that could be said on the topic. But I'll kind of be riffing in reference to a practice I've been doing lately. But first, like, what is self-honesty? Well, before that, actually, it may even be important to set some context. In that we don't tend to be completely honest with ourselves. We don't tend to interrogate every feeling, every thought, every suspicion. And when we don't do that, things sort of they can become repressed. They can become so repressed, in fact, that you may not recognize them. And something may kind of stir in the background for weeks, months, even years. And when we let that happen, it's rather unfortunate, because there's sort of this catastrophic thing going on within your psychology without you really even aware of it. You may have some hints here and there, but again, you're not being totally self-honest with it. Like, you're not being totally honest with yourself, and so you're not going to interrogate that. I wouldn't interrogate that. And when you do, like, we may not find everything we had maybe expected. There may be some things we have to clean up, some aspects of our psyche where we really got to take a look at that and understand that that is not the character, that is not the whole being we had wanted from ourselves. There's this fragmentation in, you can maybe call it your personality, but it's more like if you understand that you are not solely one person. You're not one. There's no one self. It's more like a collection of different people with different attitudes and beliefs and worldviews and capacities that all kind of shift around in the quote-unquote director's chair of mind. If you understand that, if you understand that that your actions are constantly in change, the reason why you can't, or that way we have such a hard time with habits and creating new foundations for ourselves, is because of these shifting chairs, these shifting characters that make up the totality of our personality. And you might be able to appreciate this. And, you know, I haven't worked out my thoughts fully on this. This is just the morning after a very interesting experience. And so basically, it's just important to do this. It's important to do the practice I'm about to lay out, or something like it. You know, journaling is a very common one, and it's a good one. Forgetting everything out and seeing it, you know, right in front of you. But then again, there's probably also something to be said for the power of voice as compared to the written word, because it's been doing it so much longer, it's far more primal and intimate in a sense. And so I guess I'll just kind of dive into the experience and the practice. It's like the past week or two, probably the past week, I just sort of spontaneously started sitting down on my rug before I went to bed every night and sort of just talking to myself. It's initially, it kind of seems like you might be going insane. Last night there was that feeling. It's like, oh, well, now I'm talking to myself. Do I have a problem now? And I think you have to have the discernment as to whether or not the whole process is helpful so you can make that decision. But in sitting down and talking to myself, what also just sort of came spontaneously was these shifting voices, these shifting personas. It was sort of a conversation between aspects of myself. With the central figure being the attitude that I usually associate with, who, you know, is primarily dominated by fear, amongst many other things, as well as ambition and many other traits. But the other main voice that has been coming up is this one that just is ready to go all in with both this work and this podcast and everything I'm going to have to do. It's a voice that is focused on the process, that is far more wiser than I usually am, that points out my bullshit plain and clear. And I even get this guttural feeling in my body as they go back and forth. And I don't really know what to make of this whole experience, mind you. This is new. And I'm just sort of sharing it because I found it immediately valuable. And I'll ask myself, what do I want? What do I want in terms of my goals for the rest of school? What do I want music-wise as a goal? What do I want as goals with Meme and Meaning in the podcast? And what do I want as goals 2 years from now and 20 years from now, 40 years from now? It's like, I don't stick to goals. I don't hold on to them when they're that far out. I don't hold on to them too tightly, but they think they're valuable to consider. But it's a process of going back and forth within my own mind and addressing the fears, addressing the doubts, addressing the questions, and it's been pretty enlightening, because although I'm not going to claim that I'm right, even most of the time, I will say that the answers that come through in this process are extremely practical. And they just feel extremely right. And they feel from a good place. Whether it be the fact that I just sort of have to go for things. I just have to start putting things out there. I just have to trust that in doing things, they will get better. As long as I keep pushing myself and reviewing and reading and all the other things that go into that. And that sounds sort of simple, but on the feeling level, I think we all get tripped up. I think it's, you know, everything maybe that we attempt to do that's something new or something generally difficult relative to where we're at in our lives. Like, our psychology is what holds us up. Like, it's pretty... My mind was going kind of crazy yesterday. I've been reading The 4-Hour Workweek for the first time. And it's a really fascinating book. Sort of blows your idea of what's possible in certain respects out of the water. And in that sense, I'm really enjoying it. But I kept thinking about how... It's basically talking about how you can get more time, you know, and still support yourself in a very substantial way. And that really appeals to me. And so I'm thinking about, should I start this online business and do yada, 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 all these different avenues of making that happen. And none of them ultimately appeal to me, but I sort of was feeling like I have to do them or one of them. But in doing this process of sitting down and being totally honest with myself and processing these emotions and these concerns, I just remember that I don't want any of that. And I don't want any of those people's lives in that sense of maybe selling things online or creating apps that don't really do anything great for people. Just things that I couldn't find myself to do out of ultimate ethical concern for me personally. And it was through this that I'm able to be grounded every night. I'm able to go to bed with a sense of direction and a sense of, all right, I'm on to something. And I still have almost all the way to go, but I could say it just feels tremendously right. And I felt like I feel like I need more self-honesty in my life. I feel like it's almost sort of a self-addressed or DIY psychotherapy. It's like you're sort of venting back and forth to yourself. And you allow these different fragments to sort of come to surface and show the apparent distinction between them. And so, like, if I say something, or if either one of these qualities of character say something, and there's the slightest feeling of doubt, or, like, concern, fear, anything. Joy, it could be positive emotions too. The other one comes and points that out or asks a question. Because one, it's a safe environment to do so. Like, it's just me and myself. Like, and so the same would be for you. And through that, just opening and opening and opening, there's also a substantial state change that comes along. And I guess I was talking about that with the direction and everything with that. But it's a very, I don't know, it's a very existential feeling. It's a very, at least for me, spiritually driven feeling. And again, if you're averse to that term, just, you know, take out all the beliefs, take out all the baggage, and just come back to the raw wonder of everything. That's all I mean with that term. And last night, specifically, I was going through this process, and it was, every night it seems more and more valuable. But another thing came up, another aspect came up that felt very off. And I got this sense of, because I was going back and forth with the quote-unquote wiser part of myself, and that part suddenly sort of just shifted, or gradually shifted over a few phrases or statements into something very different. Something I had the sense that was, for lack of a better term, evil. And yet I couldn't explain why. It was just sort of the attitude of being fed up and being ready to end everything I am currently, ready to just be done with this life. And I'm not, you know, I haven't had suicidal thoughts for quite a while, or I haven't contemplated that for quite a while. Like, I've dramatically improved my life over the past couple of years, but it was still there, I could see, in some fashion. And I hadn't known that. And the whole thing was that, or at least that I came to find in talking to that part of myself, was that it was the part that I continuously shove under through all the ways I carry myself in the world that are rooted in anxiety and fear. Maybe I've used the word fear too much in this episode, but whatever. That repressed element is the product of the years and years of being a coward, of specifically, you know, in relation to my body, all the ways I'm so tense all the time and concerned with how I'm being perceived by other people. And basically I could just tell, and what he said was that he's just utterly fed up. And there's no trust there. It's just like a relationship, and I think I said something similar yesterday with this. But, you know, if someone repeatedly doesn't show up to be in a relationship, to actually be an equal member an honest member in a relationship, you're not going to have any trust. And it's really hard to rebuild that. And I can tell it's the same thing with these two elements of myself. And I often think about various ways that I want to sort of enter myself through different states and whatnot, to have these existential learning experiences, these humbling experiences. And in surrendering those, I sort of ask, like, in the inevitable surrendering into those, I ask this part, like, how can I trust him not to do anything dire? And essentially, he said that he can't. And that, hypothetically, I sort of asked him, okay, like, how can I trust you not to just, for you to come out and I end up killing myself in some frantic days? And I understand this is getting kind of weird. I know it's getting kind of weird, but this is sort of the unfolding. This is the honesty that I think people have to have with themselves. This isn't something we talk about. And I think if you probe deep down enough, if you're interested in ultimately the most fulfilling life, you should be contemplating your death, right? You should be constantly thinking about death. And likely you're doing of all this because you went through some tremendous suffering of banging your head against the wall and wanting to change and wanting to change and wanting to change and not being able to tolerate the life that you had come to have. So that's where all this is coming from. So if this is getting weird for you, I understand. But I frankly don't think it's too weird. I think it's something people just don't address. And so aside from that slight digression, I asked him, like, how can I trust you not to, you know, like, for me not to kill myself? And the interesting thing he said was that it wouldn't be the first time. And I sort of immediately understood that to mean how all the times, or that every time, day in and day out, where I do hold myself so tensely, where I do not stand up to fulfill whatever potential I have in the moment, and every day that I don't strive to become a more transparent, honest, and loving person, I, in a very real, yet metaphorical sense, kill myself. I constantly hold myself down. And from that level of resolution, like, I, you know, it's weird, we're all doing that. Like, I don't think I know one person who doesn't struggle with at least some form of anxiety. And so, I mean, that would then, someone may say, well, that shows that anxiety is pretty natural, and yes. But at this level of just being around other people to this extent, I doubt it. There are other cultures in the world that don't have any notion of this level, this disparity. And when he said that, it was like many of the things that were said last night. And I'll probably start recording these so I can actually listen back to them and dissect them and understand them more. But just fucking truth bomb after truth bomb, you know, relative to my own life. It was very, very eye-opening. And that's why I'm talking about it here. That's why I highly recommend this process. You know, even if you just start with journaling, that's great. The journaling's fantastic. But the other recognition I had in this whole thing was that part that I have repressed, and maybe this is all really analogous to shadow work. That's not something. It's not a process or area of study that I'm very fluent in at all. I haven't done a whole lot of research into that. But that was sort of the phrase that was coming to mind, like, oh, is this shadow work? Is this dealing with the repressed elements of your psyche? It's like, yeah. So it's something I have to look more into. But the other thing I realized was that this part that I have repressed is entirely necessary. It's entirely crucial to own and to integrate and to repair that relationship. And all I could see was that, you know, it's up to me to do that, obviously, but that in every moment it's a choice, and that we're just all so unconscious. Like, we don't realize that in every moment it is purely a choice to just be and to live from a different, maybe even a higher place. And I understand there's even some reserve in saying that myself, because, you know, it's not really any of our faults that we're born into this specific culture in this specific age, with these specific problems, you know, these specific privileges, and like all these other things, and those obviously compound and affect us from an age where where there is no notion of choice, if there is any at all. But also, we can't act like we're victims of that, because nothing can change from that perspective. Like, no matter what happened, no matter all the things that really weren't your fault, like, despite all that, no one can change you, except you. No one can improve your life except you. And that's sort of a big, unfortunate pill to swallow in the beginning. But then it's also liberating in the sense, well, then you can change it. And so I had this epiphany that I have to, if I want to have anything approximating a extraordinary, beautiful life, then I will have to reintegrate these parts, whatever other parts there are, in addition to just these other two, with three in total. I'm going to have to reintegrate these into a full, coherent sum, into a total person, instead of the fragment that I've been living from. And that's obviously hard work. Any change is hard, right? And then, again, the wiser part of me came back, and it was sort of a mediation between the three of us, if you want to call it us, because in the middle of all that, I was like, okay, why am I not feeling good right now? Why am I not feeling any sort of closure with my day in any sort of like direction. Like I feel very like uneasy right now. Like when that other repressed part came to surface and I was like, okay, I thought I was about to end this whole thing. Like I was ready to go to bed and what is all this? But the other wiser part came in and there was this, there's this discussion that again came back to, okay, you're going to have to fix this, Steven. You're going to have to create all of this. Or you're going to have to undo all this just as you created the problem in the first place. By taking hook, line, and sinker, all the assumptions and insecurities of your environment. And in that, I again returned to considering what I want for my life within the next 2 years, really, and how I want to make this project one of the central goals, and I want it to pervade my life, and I want to help people, and that may be a far cry from whatever this is right now. I don't know how helpful this is. But again, I have to trust that this is going to pan out, or that this is going to get better if this isn't helpful. So, hopefully on some level you can bear with me. But considering how I want this to be a main thing, how I, first and foremost, beyond any online business, beyond any of those other people whose lives I'm not fond of acquiring or simulating, first and foremost, I'm an artist. And I'm a musician. And I am whatever this is. Whether that, I don't know if that's writing, I don't know if that's speaking, like, but these are the things that that really fill me up, that excite me, that I could do all day long. And the caveat to that is many of those things are extremely uncomfortable. It was not comfortable to sit down here and start this podcast. But it has been worth it. And considering how I want to just help people in general through those avenues, through these avenues of music and podcasting and writing and creating content in whatever fashion that ends up unfolding through. The ultimate goal, ultimate purpose is for us to connect to ourselves on the most visceral, honest level. And it's to unearth all of those repressed elements and face them head on, because what the world needs is people who are ready to carry some responsibility and are ready to carry their own lives so that they can help others, so that they can change communities and change countries and really at a grassroots level, at each individual, create a foundation for love. It's really, at a grand scale of the whole human project, That's really all that matters. And so I want to connect you to that feeling. And in fact, beyond that, or simultaneously with that, two sides of the same coin, maybe. In that process, I feel like it's necessary to really come term to term, or how the fuck do you say it? Come to terms with our situation as a conscious being. And the fact that, just reality makes no sense. And that there are so many questions that either aren't probed deeply enough with their answers, or just can't be got at with our current state of awareness. Maybe can't be got at all. But in any case, it's fun. And it's in my opinion, the most intriguing thing. And so maybe that wasn't organized well. So I will boil it down. I have found nothing more valuable in my life than this honest connection, then this endeavor to grow, then this transparency with myself. And through that, I have come to be astoundingly open to different possibilities and to wonder with great care about what life is, about science and philosophy and epistemology and ontology. And I have come across some of the most beautiful experiences of gratitude and appreciation and love and wonder, and I want the exact same thing for you. I want you to open up to your version of that. Plain and simple, I just want you to be honest with yourself. And I just want you to find a deeper fulfillment in your life, to go into a deeper depth . And I want you to be happy, just as I want myself to be happy. And happy not on a temporary, pleasurable sense, but in a values-based, deeper sense. So with all that said, hopefully the practice is clear enough. You all you have to do is sit down, you know, hold the intention that you want to have an honest conversation with yourself, that you want to set intentions for your life, that you want to hear whatever has to be said and think about whatever has to be thought. Just basically think of trying to tap into a wiser part of yourself, or is journaling allowed? Let it go wherever it has to go. It may look totally different from the outline I just expressed. And if so, good. You have your own life, and it's yours to live. Hopefully I'll play a song, or I'll have a song that I can throw at the end of this thing that you can listen to. I have a few, but I'm working on one right now that I'm really liking. So soon. Peace.